You just didn't know it.
All right. Well, Sunday night service here at Landmark Baptist Church this February the 26th. Lord's night service. I wouldn't say Lord's Day service, but it's night out there. Well, thank the Lord for the good singing this morning, for the good... really, it was a good service. It really was. A lot of needs here and a lot of spirit here. And Sister Vonnie, her son, Billy, they found out he's got a hole in his intestines. And he's on his way down to Nashville to have immediate surgery. But the good thing is, not only have they found the problem, but they could also maybe fix the cancer while they're in there, because that's right where it's at. Amen. So it may be a one, you know, maybe a blessing in disguise.
Yeah.
Might be able to get two birds, one stone. Mm-hmm. But just getting that hole in his intestines repaired will be a big plus. That's one reason he's in a lot of pain, infection, and stuff like that.
That's what my dad just went through.
Yeah. Yeah, Ronnie.
He didn't come out of it.
Yeah.
He had two holes.
Wow.
Wow.
But we're going to have a prayer for him here in just a second. Brother Ed's alarm clock going off, time to start.
Right.
We're going to try to sing number 121, I Need Thee Every Hour. What a true song.
Yes.
And I'll do my best to sing this. I need Thee every hour, most gracious Lord. I ain't getting this right. I need Thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like Thine can peace afford. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to Thee. I need Thee every hour. Stay Thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when Thou art nigh. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Bless me now, my Savior. I come to Thee. I need Thee every hour, in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to Thee. I need Thee every hour, most holy one. I make for the song. Make me Thine indeed, Thou blessed Son. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to Thee. Thank you, Brother Patrick. I'm not a song leader. That helped out a bunch when you picked up where I fell down there. But how true that song is, I need Thee every hour. And I'm glad God can be with us every hour.
Yes, amen.
Brother Patrick is going to sing us a special song. We'll give him that opportunity to do that.
I ain't learned this one real good. Everybody knows it.
All right. Bless Him, Lord.
Hang on.
You want to sing?
You know the song?
What?
You go rest. You know the song?
What is it?
Here, so go rest. Turn the mic in case you do.
All right.
All right. Here we go.
What is this song?
Listen.
What is this song?
You'll know. I've sung it before.
I know your life on earth was wrong. Only you know the pain. We're afraid to admit.
Singing, good song.
Yes,
Lord. I praise God for it too. Hallelujah. Go rest high on that mountain. We want to have a quick word of prayer. Brother Billy Sexton, Sister Bonnie's son, they found out he's got a hole in his intestines and he's probably already in surgery. When word got to me, they were en route to Nashville to do immediate surgery to try to repair the hole and to try to help him with the cancer while they're in there, maybe get two birds, one stone, I don't know. We're going to have a quick word of prayer for Billy.
Yes.
We're going to pray for Olivia. She was mentioned this morning. She's got abdominal pain, just got saved. Sister Sharon requested prayer for Elaine, her good friend. And Sister Sharon was asking for prayer. Her blood pressure was messed up. She was dizzy. And then I got word that Brother Mitchell had hurt his leg. And he's got to go to the doctor tomorrow. So just a lot of things to pray about. Amen.
Michael.
Yeah, Brother. I didn't know if you wanted to mention that or not, Brother Ed.
Yeah. But, you need to pray for him. They said that he's not going to live very long because of cancer that just... that's in his brain, and it's in four stage already. So.
Yeah. Ed shared that with me on the way over here, but I didn't know if he wanted to mention that or not.
Yes, I'll just go ahead and tell these guys here because they're here. He came here about 2 months before we started to change this over, put seats in, take these old pews out.
Mm-hmm.
And he donated $2,000 for these chairs.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he owns a trucking company down in Georgia. He used to come by with his plane to pick me up here in Glasgow. We'd go to Indiana all the time. Mm-hmm. He'd fly me up, or he was a pilot. He flew for the government, body parts and things like that. That's what he did for a living.
Right.
Yeah, they're jets. And he owns a couple of planes himself, and he owns a trucking company. And anyway, he started getting real bad headaches, and they checked him for sugar, and I forget what all they did check him. Come to find out he had brain cancer, stage 4. And they said it was so aggressive that he won't last very long.
Wow.
And he don't want none of us to come down there and see him in the shape that he's in, because he can't even set up anymore. He has to stay laying down all the time. He's so dizzy headed from the brain cancer. So then Bobby, I was talking to my brother this afternoon. He'll come by here and pick me up when he dies, and we'll go to Georgia. That's the only thing we can do, because he don't want us to see him in the shape that he's in right now.
Well, I certainly understand that.
I understand that too, you know.
No,
his
man,
brother, just several years ago, he come by and pick me up. He lived up in Indiana, and he came by here at Glasgow Airport and picked me up, and we went to his funeral up there. He also died with cancer.
Yeah.
So this cancer's taking out a lot of people.
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now, we need to pray for us.
Amen. Lord, we bow our head tonight, thanking you, Lord, for all the good you do, Lord. Lord, even with so few to work with, we thank you, Lord. Lord, we pray, dear Father, for Michael right now. Urgent, Lord. Brother Ed said he don't give him very long at all. And Lord, just pray you'd go to him right now and encourage him. Pray, dear Father, Lord, you would heal him if that be your will. Or take him home, Lord. We just pray that he wouldn't suffer. We pray, dear Lord, that you would minister, Lord, to his needs. You know him much better than we do. We pray for him, Lord. Pray for the family. Lord, I pray for Sister Joanne out there, Lord, watching on the live stream. We love Sister Joanne. Lord, we just pray, dear God, her circumstances will get better. I know she struggles with her health each and every day. And Job said, wearisome days are appointed unto me. And Lord, we don't like them, we don't want them, but they still come. We pray for her. Pray for her family. I pray, dear Father, Lord, for Sister Sharon. I mentioned this morning, Lord, that she was dizzy due to her blood pressure. We pray for her, Lord, Father, tonight. Pray for her friend, Elaine. Lord, and I think also got health issues. We pray for her. I pray for Sister Vonnie's son, Billy Sexton, Lord, having to have emergency surgery. Lord, got a hole in his intestines. Causing, Lord, infection and problems. And we pray for Billy. We pray for Vonnie. I think Billy's 48 years old. We just pray, Lord, that God, you would see to it not only they could fix the hole in his intestines, but I pray, Father, Lord, they could help him with the cancer, Lord. He'd been taking cancer treatments. Like Brother Ed said, cancer ain't no fun. And, Lord, we wouldn't wish it on nobody. And I pray for him, Lord, with regards to all of that. Lord, I pray, dear Father, Lord, for little Olivia, I believe that's her name, Sister Carolyn mentioned this morning, their granddaughter also having stomach pains. We pray for Olivia. Pray, dear Father, Lord, you would see to it, Lord, they find out what's causing those stomach pains, and may she get the help she needs, Lord, with that. We pray for her. I pray, dear Father, Lord, for Sam, Lord. I pray, dear God, Lord, you get in church, Lord. I pray you get a sure assurance of his salvation, get his life where it needs to be. We love Sam. We pray for him. And Lord, we pray, dear God, tonight, Lord, if we forgot anybody, Lord, we lift them up to you, Lord. Just humble prayer, Father. Bring in petitions, Lord, to your throne of grace, to your throne of mercy. And ask, dear Lord, your mercy be multiplied. Your blessings be bestowed. Your grace be given. Your will be done in all of them. We ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. It's good to start everything with a good word of prayer. Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Did you get to hear that song on the way home, Sister Sarah?
Yeah, I did.
Pretty good song, wasn't it? Yeah. Old Jeff, he done graduated this life, but he left behind a testimony there.
I need good you one. To, before you go home, sir, pull it up on, I think I have YouTube on here. Pull it up for me.
Yeah, it's good.
And I'll listen to it when I get home.
Okay.
John chapter 5, I'm going to read 30 verses. Not going to preach on all of them, but I'm reading them for a reason. But in John chapter 5, we'll read the first 30 verses of John chapter 5. And verse 30 is our text verse tonight. A very serious message. We'll do our best with it. But here in John chapter 5, said after this there was a feast of the Jews. Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. I want to stop real quick. They've restored this pool,
yes,
and it's usable again. And I reckon it's breathtaking how big it is, and how well it's made.
I forget how many acres they said.
It's big.
Yeah.
Said it got five porches.
Yeah.
And in these, I guess the five porches, lay a great multitude of impotent folk,
yeah,
of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. And these people got health issues, and they're there hoping to get some help.
Yeah.
Verse 4 says, for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatever disease he had. I'm going to say that was quite a competition, trying to get to be the first one in. Verse 5, and there was a certain man, well let me read it right, and a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been there, that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool, but while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. He hadn't achieved his goal of getting in that water for somebody else for 38 years.
Right.
Wow. Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Yeah. Verse 9, and immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And this is where the problems start. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It's a Sabbath day. It's not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. And he answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. He's just doing what he's told. Then asked they him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not, which means knew not, who he was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. They didn't care about the man at all.
No.
But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him because not only had he broken the Sabbath, but he said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. We're getting ready to get in some deep water right here, so brace yourself. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, that means of a truth, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that he himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead, and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but have committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, again, this is pretty serious. Of a truth, the Lord says, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that hath sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life.
Thank you,
Lord. Listen to that verse real good.
Mm-hmm.
Passed from death into life, because this next verse is talking about a different group of people. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. You see, I've got eternal life already.
Right.
Death has nothing to do with me, and I have nothing to do with death. But he's talking about two different groups of people. This first group has believed, and they're not going to come into condemnation. They're passed from death into life. They have eternal life.
Right.
In verse 25, there's another group here. He said that when the dead shall hear the voice of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. The Lord says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil, unto the resurrection of damnation. It's our text verse right here. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which have sent me. I'm stopping right there. We'll touch on some more of these verses here. But we're preaching tonight on past the point of no return. It's a pretty rough message. Lord, we thank you for the scriptures that we've just read, for the Holy Spirit that's able, Lord, to give us understanding concerning these verses.
Yeah.
I pray you bless this message tonight, Lord. You know who needs it. You know where it needs to go. And I pray you'll direct it, Lord. We know your word does not return void. It prospers in the thing it's sent to do. And Lord, it's a light under our path. Lord, we just pray there, Lord, that we'd hide it in our heart that we might not sin against you. Help tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Past the point of no return.
Wow.
Just for thought tonight, if you was in a car and you drove off a cliff in that car, it'd do no good to hit the brakes.
Right. No.
The brakes would work, but they got nothing to stop. No gravity, no resistance, you're free falling. It wouldn't do no good to put the car in park. Still going to fall. It wouldn't do no good to put the car in reverse. I mean, you're past the point of no return. That's easy to understand. Once the car heads off a cliff, all of dynamics change, and you're looking at the bottom, and it's coming, and you're going to have a collision between the top of the cliff and the bottom. You're going to rest at the bottom. Whether you live or not, I don't know. I don't want to drive off no cliff, but some people have driven off a cliff, especially here lately. A guy drove one of those electric cars, one of those Tesla, whatever you call it, Elon Musk Tesla. Yeah, Tesla drove one off a cliff and they survived. I never seen so many airbags on a car. But I think my understanding is he intentionally drove the car off the cliff, had more money, had sense. But that's what I'm talking about. Once you go over that cliff, you're past the point of no return. There have been several people that have jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge, and only a very few of them have survived. But everyone that survived jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge, they all said the same thing. They said, when I jumped, I said, I wished I had thought about this before I jumped, before I let go. Because every one of them had regret, but they were past the point of no return. Once they let go of that bridge, once they went over the edge of that bridge, I forgot how far it is down to the water, but very few people survived that. That's what I'm preaching about tonight. Past the point of no return. And they were past that point. Jesus healed this impotent man of his 38-year infirmity. We read that verses 5 through 9. The problem was the Jews didn't like it because he done it on the Sabbath day. Now, Jesus was Lord of the Sabbath. He gave the Sabbath to man so that man could honor God by keeping the Sabbath holy, but it had got to the point that they'd made a God out of the day. And it goes on even today. You got people today, and I hate to be dogmatic here, but Seventh-day Adventists, they put so much emphasis on the day that they lose the very reason why they're even observing the Sabbath day. And it's more about the day than it is about the God of the day. Jesus, if you'll notice, he done every single work he did on the Sabbath day. They had just made so much of the day, they couldn't see the forest for the trees.
Right.
The Jews, they're mad because he healed this guy on the Sabbath day. They cared less about the guy. They couldn't be happy that a man that was 38 years bedfast with an infirmity was healed. They could care less about the man. They're just upset because Jesus healed him on the Sabbath day. You see that in verse number 10.
That bridge was 245 feet to the water.
245 feet. I'm not going to jump off of it, but there are some fools down there.
Yeah.
And I don't care if they all jump off. I still ain't jumping off. But if they do jump off of it, they'll be past the point of no return. And I'll tell you, not very few survived that. Amen.
That's right.
Verse 10, they had a problem. And he spake against it because of the Sabbath day. Not only that, they spake against it because of who had healed this man. You know, like I said, they couldn't get no joy out of a man that was healed because of the day and because of who it was that healed the man. They couldn't get any enjoyment out of it.
Right.
I mean, it didn't matter about the man. It mattered more about the day that it was done on, and it mattered more about who had healed the man. You know, some people, I hate to say it, my pastor coined this phrase, and it is true. Some people, their match only strikes on their box. They could care less.
Yeah.
They don't care that somebody got saved at Landmark Baptist Church. They're only interested in who gets saved at their church.
Right.
The longer you serve God, the more you'll see that and understand that. But you know what? Here was an opportunity. The Bible said there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents.
Amen.
This is a picture of salvation.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, Jesus told him to go and sin no more. He said, lest a worse thing come unto thee, there in verse 14. But they couldn't get any joy out of it. They were straining at gnats and swallowing camels. Hey, they were more offended by the fact it was done on the Sabbath day. And who done it was Jesus. And I want you to know, they were upset. Now the Lord's fixing to address them. And not only will He address them, but He'll address us too. God can do whatever He wants, whenever He wants, wherever He wants. The Bible tells us He's no respecter of persons. But He does work even today. I'm still happy about that movement of God in our colleges and in our schools.
Yeah.
And boy, I'm telling you, it's come down to the point that something had to give.
Right.
And I'm glad they turned to the Lord. You know, the other side of the coin could be they could take their life.
Yeah.
They could say, I've had enough, I don't want to live no more. But they're giving the Lord a chance. And I want you to know I'm happy for what I'm hearing about the move of God in our colleges and in our campuses and in our schools. I'm happy to hear it. But Jesus speaks plainly to their sin and their unbelief and of their coming judgment in verses 24 and 25. I mean, He's not mentioning His words here. He said, He that heareth My word and believeth on Him that sent Me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation but pass from death unto life. I say, amen. There's therefore now no condemnation to them in Christ Jesus. I want you to know I'm glad I passed from death unto life. And listen, it's what I'd call the point of no return. I couldn't go back to the old man if I wanted to. I've got the new man. There might be a strife and a battle going on, but praise God, greater is He that's in me than He that's in the world. And I've been found out He can get me through whatever come my way. But Jesus tells them, He said, the hour's coming. That's blunt.
Yeah.
And now is. I mean, buddy, He put the finger on the problem. When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. And He plainly told them in verses 38 through 40. Now, we didn't read this, but we're going to. He said, and you have not His word abiding in you, for whom He has sent Him you believe not. He said, search the Scriptures. And a lot of people need to do this.
Yeah.
For in them, He said, ye think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of Me. And Jesus said, and ye will not come to Me that you might have life. That's a stern warning.
Yeah.
Then He plainly warned them. That was He plainly told them what the problem was. Then He plainly warned them in verses 43 through 47. He said, I've come in My Father's name and you receive Me not.
Yeah.
He said, if another shall come in His own name, He said, him you will receive. Talking about the Antichrist.
Right.
Now He's talking to the Jews and He's giving them a strict warning here about the Antichrist. He said, if another come in His own name, He said, him you will receive. He said, how can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not honor that cometh from God only? He said, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. He said, there's one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed Me, for he wrote of Me. He said, Moses is even going to accuse them.
Yeah.
He said, there's one that's going to accuse you, even Moses, whom you trust. You see, He's trying to get their attention. They were what I would call missing the main point of this. They were caught up in tradition and religion. They couldn't even see the miracle. They couldn't even understand their own situation and the Lord dealing with them. But that part that I'm talking about tonight passed the point of no return. Mentioned there in verse number 30. I mentioned this morning where the Bible says in Acts chapter 2 verse 40, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Even though you cannot save yourself, you can seek and find salvation. You can get a refuge for your soul. You can get your sins under the blood. You can get your name in the book of life. You can get born again. You can be a citizen of heaven. You can escape the condemnation of the world through Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Now, that space of seeking the Lord may be a whole lot shorter than a lot of people think. I've got a track at home based on a true story. A young girl, she's 16 years old. Somebody trying to talk to her about her soul. And she's like these Jews. She couldn't see the importance of it all. And she said, I've got plenty of time. And she died that very night. Young girl, pretty girl. Died that very night. She underestimated how much time that she had. I've told the story before. Going to work one night, stopped at Consumers Filling Station. Young boy, red-headed John, leather jacket, got him a Harley motorcycle, got him a girlfriend. John come running out there. What do you need there, Eddie? I said, fill her up, John. While John's filling up my F-150 Ford XLT truck, Lord spoke to my heart. Nice truck. Boy, God bless me with that truck. I love that truck. Four-wheel drive. He said, get him a track out. And that truck had a console in the middle. I raised it up, and I'm looking through all them tracks. And I finally got one, Brother Ed, I thought would be fit to give, you know, a young man like John. Mm-hmm. I got that track out, and I started over there to John. And about the time I got to John, opened my mouth, a man stepped between me and John and started talking to John. And I thought, I got plenty of time. I'll tell him next time. He died that night. I've got John's blood on my hand. Nothing I can do about it. To my horror, I found out the next morning that John went to a party that night with his girlfriend. They got to drinking. That's what I did when I went to a party. You go to get, get drunk or get messed up, whatever. And John's at the party and he's been drinking and he's got a gun. And his girlfriend said, John, put that gun up or somebody gets hurt. John said it ain't loaded and put it to his head and blowed his brains out. 18-year-old John. A lot of people underestimate how short that space is. And they procrastinate. I did. I procrastinated. I can remember my grandfather when I was 18 years old. I was in the backyard of our house. And he lived right back behind us, Brother Ed. Mm-hmm. And I saw him coming. Mm-hmm. My grandfather was a very godly man, Edgar Gunnels.
Yeah.
And boy, he loved the Lord. He wasn't ashamed of the Lord. Boy, he was a very godly man. I seen him coming, and I'm out there drinking beer in the backyard with my shirt off. And I put that beer behind me, and here he come. Come up to me, horsefly. He said, I've been praying for you. He said, I'd like for you to get saved. And I'm sitting there thinking, Papa Ed, I'm 18 years old. Maybe when I'm 81, but not 18.
Right.
And you know, that's the way I thought about it. And a lot of people think about eternity just like I did.
Yeah.
And my grandfather, his heart was broke. Big tears dripping off his cheeks. His glasses was real thick. Made him look like bowling balls running down his face. He looked up at me, Patrick, and he said, if you ever change your mind, horsefly, he said, you come down to my house any hour of the day. And he said, I'll personally introduce you to Jesus. And I thought, anytime I want to, I can get saved. That actually was pretty good till he died. He didn't live too much long after that. I don't think it was even a year. Then I finally got saved, and I was kind of wishing my grandfather was alive so he could know I was saved. And I got to think about that verse in the presence of the angels. There's rejoicing. I thought, my grandfather's up there running the aisles. My grandson finally got saved. Amen.
Amen.
But that short space, the Bible doesn't say tomorrow is the day of salvation. It says today.
Amen.
Is the day. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 2. And here's why. I'm preaching out about the point of no return. This is probably the most serious part of this message tonight. We may have even had a little overkill in reading all the scriptures. But here's what it is. If you die in your sins, then you have went past the point of no return. That's what Jesus mentioned here in verse number 30. He said, I can of myself do nothing. He said, as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. And if you have died in your sins, your fate is sealed. You're stuck. I'm telling you, if you die in your sins, you're past the point of no return. And people say, 11, God wouldn't send me to hell. That's true. Your sins will. And your sins will be paid by you for eternity in a place made for the devil and his angels.
Yeah.
In Matthew chapter 25 verse 41, it said hell was made for the devil and his angels, and you'll be there, and here's what you'll be doing. You'll be paying your sin debt.
That's right.
You turn down the pardon. You turn down the payment of the blood.
Yeah.
You turn down the promise of God that if you would come to Him, that He'd nowise turn you away, that He'd be faithful and just, forgive of your sins, and save your soul. You pass that point if you die in your sins.
Yeah, that's right.
And if that happens, in hell you'll lift up your eyes like that rich man did, Luke chapter 16, verse 23. The Bible said he was in torments. In Luke chapter 16, verse number 23, it says, we'll read verse 22, it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died. Rich men die all the time, but this was a lost rich man.
Mm-hmm.
And was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom.
Mm-hmm.
And he cried, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. He's past the point of no return.
Yeah.
There's none of this in hell.
Right.
There's no mercy in hell. You turn down the mercy of God.
That's right.
You turn down the streets of gold. You turn down the forgiveness of sins by the blood of Jesus that shed His blood for our sins. You turn that down, and now you're at the point of no return. There's no one doing it. And there's somebody going to hell right now while I'm preaching here tonight.
That's right.
I could get probably $10 million out of that one drop.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. They'll come up with it. He said, a drop. He said, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue.
Yeah.
He said, for I am tormented in this flame. This rich man thought he could buy some mercy.
Mm-hmm.
He's past the point of no return. Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Not only will you be past the point of no return, but you'll be convinced that you went too far. You'll be convinced that there is a place called hell.
Yeah, that's right.
You'll be convinced of the fact you made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
You missed heaven.
Oh, my.
Boy, I'll tell you, I don't mind being convinced of some things, but I hate to be convinced of the fact that I missed heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And now for eternity, I'm going to suffer and pay for my sins. Not only if you die in your sins will you be passed upon an overturn, but if you miss the rapture, somebody said, what's the rapture? The Lord's coming for His church.
Mm-hmm.
That's mentioned in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He's coming. He bought the church with His own blood.
Yes.
I tell you, Brother Ed, I stopped on the way home, got some sandwich meat at Houchins.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't forget it. It's at the house in the refrigerator. But if I had have forgot it, I would have went back and got it because it was mine. I paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you, the Lord paid for the church.
Yeah.
It belongs to Him. He loved the church. He gave Himself for it. And He's coming for His church. It's bought and paid for. Only reason He hadn't come and got it already is because we're in His stead.
Yeah.
We're the light right now that the world needs to know Jesus. I'm telling you, little Lucy, sometimes she'll sing a song, this little light of mine,
yeah.
I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. We're letting our light shine.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But the light is soon to leave.
Mm-hmm.
When the light leaves, darkness will take over.
Yes, it will.
And you'll be past the point
of no return.
Of no return.
Amen.
I know right. People that think, I'll get saved when I see the rapture. No, you won't. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians, I believe it's 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11, it says God will send you a strong delusion.
Yeah.
And not only will you believe a lie, but you'll be damned, according to verse number 12. You see, you turn down heaven. You haven't died in your sins, but you missed getting saved. And like that bunch in Noah's day that could have got in the ark, that sat there and mocked and made fun of Noah, when that door to that ark shut, they was on the wrong side of the door. And they all perished. And I'll just tell you, I'm glad I'm on the right side of the door. And when the door to the church age shuts, I'll be on the ark side, not on the damned side of the world. You missed the rapture. You went past the point of no return. You know, I'm talking about God giving a strong delusion and believe a lie, be damned. Mm-hmm. There's people today, just to show you how effective a lie is, there's people today that believe they're a cat, that believe, you know, instead of being a man, they're a woman, or being instead of a woman, they're a man. Living a lie, believing a lie. I'm telling you, don't tell me you won't believe a lie. You can already see the evidence of people living a lie and believing a lie right now in the hour we're living in. I'm telling you.
That's right.
But God's going to send a strong delusion, because you're past the point of no return. And the reason He's going to send that strong delusion is because you're going to believe that lie and you're going to be damned. It says, you believe not the truth, but you had pleasure in unrighteousness. And God just giving you what you wanted. The Bible says God will give you the desire of your heart in Psalms chapter 37, verse 4. You didn't want heaven. You didn't want forgiveness. You didn't want to be in the church. You wanted to live it up, man.
Yep.
Better be careful about that point of no return. Jesus said, I can of my own self do nothing. Fate's sealed. He said, as I hear, I judge. And my judgment's just. You know, when you read over here in Revelations about the name in the book of life, it said, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire, in Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. The Lord said, as I hear, I judge. Well, here's a great white throne judgment, verse 11. And him that sat upon it, that's Jesus, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and has found no place for them. Only thing there is a great white throne judgment, and a multitude of people standing out in front of it. Jesus said, I by myself can do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And here it is. He said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea, even Osama bin Laden, they put him to burial at sea. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire, past upon and overturned.
Right.
Jesus said, as I hear, I judge, and my judgment's just. Passed upon an overturn. You didn't choose heaven. You didn't end up in heaven. You left it up to chance. You didn't make a choice. The Bible says choose you this day. Made the wrong choice. That passed upon an overturn. It's not a life and matter. Mike, I can remember as a 10-year-old boy, I can still remember being afraid to close my eyes to go to sleep because I was afraid I'd wake up in hell. I can still remember that. I can remember laying there in bed on my back, afraid to close my eyes because I was afraid I'd wake up in hell. I don't have to worry about that no more.
No.
Sins on the blood.
That's right.
Done been settled and done been took care of, saved to the uttermost. sealed by the Holy Spirit. I'm as good as in heaven right now because I'm in Christ. He's in me.
Right.
But that point of no return. Sir, if I hadn't got saved at the age of 34 years old,
yes,
I'd be afraid to close my eyes. Mm-hmm. A lot of people need to listen on Brother Eddie tonight.
Right.
If it's not well with your soul, if you hadn't made preparation against that day, if you don't know for sure where you're going to spend eternity, tonight may be the very night.
That's right.
If you get a wake-up call like that man, that rich man, Luke chapter 12, verse 20, God called him by his name, and God said, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee."
Mm-hmm.
He didn't get a second chance.
That's right.
He left it to chance, and he ended up past the point of no return.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Lord, what a message. Lord, not a real good preacher, but I've done my best to deliver this message. I pray, dear Father God, tonight for those that might hear this message.
Yeah.
Lord, that they consider your mercies. They consider, Lord, your grace and your forgiveness. And I pray, Lord, they'd run to you, not from you. I pray they'd call upon you and get gloriously, wondrously saved. Not only get saved, but tell somebody they got saved. And not be ashamed of you, but Lord, be a blessing to you. We ask it, Lord, tonight. We thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. All right.
All yours, Tammy.
We're done. Thank you, honey. Boy, it's beautiful. You didn't color it, did you?
I did.
Wow.
Let me see.
Good job. That's all right. We're turning it. Well, I don't want to interfere with Mama there, but I'm okay with